Today's responsive reading came from Proverbs chapter 24, verses 21 to 34. So if you would like to join us in the few comments that we shall make, please get your Bibles and turn to Proverbs 24 and follow along. Beloved, there is so much in this particular portion that we read. It's kind of hard to pick and choose. So what I'm going to do is focus on two parts to our reading. The first one is verses 23, 24, and 25, when it deals with judicating justice, when making decisions, when going to court and being a witness on the witness stand and giving evidence against or for the situation. The honesty that is needed. Watch this. These things also belong to the wise. So here's one way we can gauge whether we're a wise person. Being wise doesn't mean that you've gone to college and you've earned a degree. Anybody today can do that. Many people who do earn a degree end up getting a job that has no relationship to the degree that they've earned. So they've wasted 4 years and a whole lot of money. They may have had a good time, but they wasted 4 years of their life. So how do I know if I'm a wise person? Well, let's see. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. And beloved, today, the American judicial system is totally bankrupt. In our legal system today, the guilty are rewarded and the innocent are punished. Justice is turned on her head. In America, justice is no longer blind. We never assume innocency until proven guilty in today's courts. And much of it is due to the fact that if you have enough money and enough pull and enough contacts, you might be able to weasel yourself out of almost any crime that you are truly guilty of. All you have to do is look at the Clinton and the Biden crime family and other political families, the Kennedys, for instance, the Bushes, nothing but criminals to the core. And yet, they've served no time in prison. They've never been called on the carpet for their war crimes. They've gotten away, literally, with murder. Well, how else do I know whether I'm a wise person? What about you? Look at verse 24. He that saith unto the wicked. Okay, so here's a wicked person. They've done some heinous crime. Thou art righteous. Notice, in today's world, we exonerate the criminal and the victim and the survivors of the victim. They're the bad people. They're the ones to be vilified. So it is wrong in the eyes of the Lord to look at a person who has committed a crime, broken either the laws of God or man, but then at the same time pronounce such a person righteous, literally innocent, though they are wicked. Now, if you can tell a wicked person who's done an evil, and the evidence is stacked against them, if you, in your foolishness, want to pronounce such a person to be still innocent, you are not a wise person, according to Proverbs. What else do we see? Him shall the people curse, and nations shall abhor him. And all you got to do is look at the current administration. America has lost any capital respect from any of our allies around the world just in these past 4 years. But to them that rebuke him shall be delight. Now we live in a world today that rebuking someone or calling down someone or pointing out someone's sins and crimes has been totally made taboo. You're supposed to just simply pour love over everyone, and you're not supposed to bring forth any of their errors, their mistakes, or their sins. But here it says, to the person who would rebuke someone, calling a wicked person to be innocent, if you rebuke such a one, or if you rebuke the person who is truly wicked and deserves to be rebuked, him shall be delight and a good blessing shall come upon him. So you got to admit that when we read this portion of the book of Proverbs, we have everything backwards in our country right now. We praise evil, okay, and we condemn the good. And because our nation as a whole, as a population of people, by and large, across the board, we have become a very unwise nation. We have a population of very unwise and unlearned citizens. Well, the other gentleman, or the other person that we're introduced to, is in verses 30 to 34. The lazy person. The person who can work, which means everything is functioning, okay? He has the proper amount of thumbs and fingers and toes. Everything moves. He can feed himself. He seems to sleep a lot, but everything is working. He's not handicapped. There's no disabilities. He's just plumb lazy. Let's look at this man, or this person. I went by the field of the slothful. So apparently, being an Old Testament book written in an Old Testament context, we're looking at a farmer, or an agricultural setting. He goes by a field of a slothful person. Everyone knows what a sloth is, that unusual creature down in Australia, that, you know, slow motion rider. It takes him forever to take one of his legs or paws, whatever you want to call it, and extend it either up or down to make any forward movement. Slow. We've seen animal films of a sloth, and you're going to spend more time yawning as you watch the creature in its movements. All right? By the vineyard of a man void of understanding. So we're talking about somebody who has a vineyard. And beloved, if you don't take care of the vineyard, you're not going to get grapes. And if you don't get grapes, you can't harvest them. And if you don't have grapes to harvest, you can't make the wine. And if you can't make it, you can't sell it. And if you can't sell it, you can't bring home the bacon and the bread. Simple. Simple mathematics here. Notice also, just like in the previous passage, if you're able to call an evil man innocent, you're not wise. Here in this instance, if you are lazy, you can work, but you refuse to work, you are void of understanding. Okay? And lo, it was all grown over with thorns. So the person didn't spend any time weeding out the weeds. Nettles and covered the face thereof. So his whole field, his whole vineyard is overtaken by weeds. And beloved, you don't harvest weeds. Weeds do not bring money into the bank. And the wall thereof was broken down. You've seen walls. Go to Great Britain. And when you drive in the countryside, you see all of that landscape, all of those fields, cattle, crops, whatever. And you see nothing but rows and rows of walls made of rocks stacked upon each other. How they do that, I don't know. They don't even use cement. They just pile them on top. You see these walls of stone. Well, that's to mark off territory. That's to mark off one man's property from another man's property. This guy here, his walls are broken down, which means anybody can crawl over the wall, ransack his vineyard, take whatever they want to take, because his security is down. What else do we see? Then I saw and considered it well. So the proverb writer says, I took a long, deep look at this individual. It wasn't a casual look. It was a long, deep look. I looked upon it and received instruction. So the slothful man is basically destroying himself, but he becomes the poster child for everybody else how not to be a slothful person. And then notice his routine. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So he spends all of his time flat on his back. And like a pancake, every so often, he'll roll over on one side and then flip over on the other side. Maybe he'll flip over on his belly and then he'll flip over back on his back. But he has no motivation to get out of his bed. His vineyard is overrun with weeds. The walls demarking his property are broken down, which allows anyone to gain access to his property and to steal whatever is available, if there's anything available to steal. He's simply wide open for attack. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and why want and thy want as an armed man. So in this particular proverb, we have a snapshot of one who tramples over justice, calling evil men innocent. And then we have the picture of the good-for-nothing, lazy bum, as he's described here in Proverbs 24. Well, may God choose to bless his word. Amen.